authors, writers, dreamers, all. Each day is an invitation to accept the call. I'm Brooke Warner from She Writes.
And I'm Grant Faulkner from NaNoWriMo. You're listening to Right Minded, weekly inspiration for writers.
Hi, everybody. We're excited to be here today on Right Minded, and I'm here with my co-host, Grant Faulkner. Hi, Grant.
Hey, Brooke.
Today, we're going to be talking about how to be a writer when there are so many other demands on you. And we do have a theme for each show. Today's theme is doing it all and still writing. So I know almost every writer I work with, no matter what demands they have on their life, feels the push-pull of this kind of thing. Like, how do you write and have a life? So, Grant, let's just unpack that for a second. I mean, I know this is something that you struggle with, and you have a full-time job and a family, and you're a writer. So how do you do it all?
It's crazy. You know, every writer I've ever talked to, even writers who are unemployed and have trust funds and have no families, everyone wants more time to write. And we kind of dream about having this kind of expansive swath of time in the future to write the perfect novel, but everyone's busy. And I like to think that our constraints can actually feed into our creativity and give us kind of an urgency and a pressure to be more creative.
Yeah, and we're talking to Aya De Leon today, who is our guest, and she's someone who's inspired me because she's talked and written a lot about how to fill in little spaces of time with your writing, and I personally have really struggled with that. I've always felt like I need to have at least a two-hour window. I have a hard time stealing those little moments, and I have this thing where I'll try to carve out those 2 hours and something else always comes up and always seems like a higher priority. And so I'm actually working on a new book now, and I'm always struggling in the beginning of a new book to truly prioritize that time. And I think there's this notion that I have to steal it from somewhere else to really make it happen.
On that note, just to preview the interview with Aya, she mentions how she'll try to write or make use of the time when her daughter is at gymnastics practice. And I think for those of us who have super busy lives, you have to look at those weird opportunities. Like, they're opportunities. We just don't usually think of them like that. So I oftentimes, when I pull up to work in my car, I'll write for 5 minutes before going to work. And that 5 minutes, 50-100 words. It all adds up.
That's amazing. I'm seriously wondering how you can do that, though. In the 5 minutes, it seems like it's like a flip that has to switch in your brain for you to be able to drop into a storyline, particularly when you're writing fiction. Do you find that you just automatically can inhabit that space?
It takes years and years of creative ninja training. No, I find it to be incredibly difficult, especially after like a harried morning of rushing out the door with my kids and dropping them off at school. I think, I've just realized that these perfect, glorious moments of creativity are just so rare in my life. And so I really have to squeeze them in where I can find them into the nooks and crannies of my day.
And a lot of people I know are also binge writers. I think I might fall on that side of things, where if I can get a whole day, or God willing, a whole weekend to just say, I'm going to pound out 8 hours here, or just write a whole chapter or two chapters, it's super exhausting. I don't recommend it, but I also know that that can be a success strategy for other people. And I have written some chapters in that way.
I actually recommend it.
Good.
I'm going to counter your point. This is very controversial. But about once a year, I go away for 2 or 3 nights on what I call a mini writing retreat. And I go about 2 hours away from home because I can't be too close to home or I'll get distracted by whatever, my day-to-day life. But if I'm just far enough away, and then I know I've got like 72 hours to be super productive. And like you say, it is exhausting because I will write, 10, 12 hours in a day and do whatever it takes just to churn out the words. But by doing that, I jumpstart a whole project.
My last book, I did that for Greenlight Your Book. And by day two of the writing retreat, which next time I do, I'm going to call it a writing retreat because I think I just called it house sitting and I was trying to write. But by day two, I was so overly exposed to the computer and had so many hours of just sitting there at the keyboard. And I think I was probably sustained just on coffee and granola bars. So I think part of it is also practicing better self-care. I'm going to reach out to our audience for some tips for that when I do it next time.
Yeah, I was totally a physical wreck after I did it for 3 days. So I think remembering that it's a retreat perhaps helps a little bit. that a retreat is also nourishing.
Definitely. And I think this does have something to do with time management. When you're really, really busy, I think of myself as a really good time manager. The problem is that I have too many other things, and almost everything comes before my writing. So what do you think about time management? I mean, is it just a matter of scheduling, or is it really for you just finding those cracks in your day and being like, I'm always going to do this in those moments?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to be entirely eloquent here with this quote, but I heard somebody say, you know, it's not about time management so much as it's doing what is important to you in your life. So if writing a novel is important to you, you will find the time to write it. And that's one lesson of NaNoWriMo too, is that you make your creativity a priority for 1 month. Everybody can do that. And I think what you were saying about practicing, that's why I think NaNoWriMo is really great, is that you can practice making it a priority and you can kind of realize the value it has in your life. And then you can find time after November to keep writing.
I like this so much. And it just brings up so many future topics that we might talk about, things like imposter syndrome or how to value your writing. Because the first thing that comes up for me when I think about people not prioritizing it is just the value that we place on it, which then sometimes speaks to the value that we place on ourselves as writers. And so, like I said, dot, 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 a theme for another time.
Yeah.
But it does bring up that in the world of writing and trying to get this stuff done, there are multiple things at play. It's not just that you have to write. It's also that you have to contend with your emotions and space and priorities and values and a million other things.
Yeah. And I loved her take on writer's block, is that it's writer's block is an emotional condition a lot of times. It's not about your writing or putting words on the page so much. It's about the inhibitors.
Yeah, and I know you believe that, and it's perfect. And so we are going to get to Aya in a few minutes. And before we do that, every single show, because we're in the first launch of our early podcasts here, we're going to share a green light moment, which is something from my book, Green Light Your Book. And you're going to share a pep talk, which is something from your new book, Pep Talks for Writers. So are you ready to segue into that and share these moments? Okay.
Definitely. Cool. What's your green light moment, Brooke? I want to hear it.
Yeah, today's green light moment actually features Aya, our guest, Aya De Leon, because Aya is someone who has a 4-book contract with Kensington Books, and she's doing this super cool feminist heist that is very subversive in nature. It's fun, but also has these important feminist underpinnings. But in 2013, she self-published a book called Puffy, and the subtitle is People Whose Hair Defies Gravity. And she wrote this book for her daughter, and she published it with a goal of creating positive images for children of African heritage and other people with puffy hair. And I love this because there are many people out there who are publishing like Aya. They call themselves hybrid authors, saying some books I'm going to get traditional deals for, and other books that I feel strongly about and feel need to be published, I'm going to say yes to myself and greenlight my work.
I love that.
Yeah. And your pep talk, Grant, I mean, I will say again, I love your book so much. And so I think one of the highlights of this podcast is going to be hearing some pep talks from you. And then if you let me every once in a while, maybe I'll do my own pep talk too.
Cool. My pep talk comes, it's inspired by Aya as well. I think big things are accomplished through small increments. And so if you're going to write 50,000 words of a novel or 100,000 words of a novel, that can be an overwhelming, burdensome thing. And it can kind of kill your creativity because it's just too big to imagine doing that in your life. And so I think you have to break those big things down into smaller increments. And this is a lesson of NaNoWriMo, of course, because we say write 50,000 words in a month, which tallies up to 1,700 words a day. That's still a lot. That's not exactly a small increment. But I thought of Toni Morrison because I love this story about her. When before she was the Toni Morrison we knew, she was a single working parent. And she, after putting her kids to bed at night, she had about 15 minutes to herself. And this wasn't the optimal creative time in her day. In fact, she was very exhausted. But she used that 15 minutes to write every day. And by writing for just 15 minutes a day, that's how she published her first novel. And so I like to do the math of writing sometimes. And I think if you write for 15 minutes a day, you can probably write about 250 words a day. And that equals 7,500 words in a month. And that's 90,000 words in a year, which is a healthy sized novel. And so that's why I think everyone can write that big novel, you know, or at least a rough draft of it in a single year.
My gosh, that's so helpful. I'm going to try it. See if I can do 250 words a day. Why not?
Yeah. Write for 5 minutes before you go to work and 5 minutes after you go to work. And I bet you'll get close to 250. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Aya De Leon.
Today's guest is Aya De Leon, and she directs the Poetry for the People program, teaching creative writing at UC Berkeley. Aya's Justice Hustlers series of feminist heists is published on Kensington Books, and she's widely published, in fact. In addition to her fiction, she writes about culture, gender, and race on her blog, ayadeleon.com. I first discovered Aya in the early 2000s. I don't know if you remember this or even know this, but I saw you do spoken word poetry on stage in downtown Berkeley, and it must have been like 2001 or 2002, and I've been a huge fan ever since.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think of myself as a transfer student to fiction. I've come in from poetry and spoken word and still love that community so much.
And now you've arrived. And today's theme, as we've said, is doing it all and still writing. And you've shared that when you had your daughter, and she's 8 years old, is that right?
Yeah.
That you had to learn to write in a different way. And I loved that you put it as the little cracks of time. And I wonder if you can say a bit about the before and after and how you find those little cracks of time today.
Absolutely. Well, one thing that's been great about being a transfer student to fiction, particularly as a writer mom, was that I fully established my sense of self and identity as a writer before I became a mom. And that was actually really important because, you know, part of the process of becoming a writer is sort of the angst, right? Am I really a writer? Do I have something to say? Will people respond to it? And, you know, because I had spent many years doing poetry and spoken word and other work, by the time I was in the crunch, right, trying to write as a mom, I had answered those questions in a lot of ways. And, you know, there was a tweet that I saw recently by Akilah Hughes, whose Twitter handle is Akilah, obviously. And she said 98% of writing is just guilt and self-loathing. And I think for many people, that's really true. And so for me as a mom, it was important that I had worked through that guilt and self-loathing because I just didn't have time for it. And what that meant was that if I had 5 minutes to write, that I really needed to spend at least 4.5 of those minutes writing. And I didn't have more than 30 seconds to spend second guessing myself, feeling bad, wondering if I was entitled to do it. And in some ways for me, that really is the secret, that if I'm not spending a lot of time questioning myself, then I can take advantage of 5 minutes, of 10 minutes. For example, today I'll be taking my daughter to gymnastics class. And the class is an hour long, which means I've got 50 minutes if I bring my laptop and I get right down to it. But you have to be able to stop and start. And in my experience, being able to stop and start like that, the key is really suspending judgment and suspending that critical voice in your head.
I admire your discipline. I've tried to write on the sidelines of my children's soccer games and often failed to do it in a different writing setting like that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious because last time I heard you speak at our reading series, Nano Litmo, you mentioned that after you sold your first novel, I think you then signed a 4-book deal and you had to produce one novel a year. Is that right?
That is pretty much correct. I sold it in a 2-book deal, and then the following year or year and a half later, I got another 2-book deal. So I've been doing 4 books in 4 years, which is a novel a year. And as if that wasn't enough, I also wrote a YA novel during that time. And I actually blame you, Grant. I blame NaNoWriMo.
Good. This is a good thing to be blamed for.
Because what happened was NaNoWriMo came around and I think I'd been reading some YA and I was excited about YA and I had a YA idea. And I thought to myself, well, I can give it a month, you know? And so I wrote a draft of this YA novel in a month. And I think that's why I'm just the world's biggest fan of NaNoWriMo. Like, I would not be able to write a book a year if I wasn't cranking out a crappy first draft in a 30-day period.
Do you always give yourself a 30-day period for your rough draft?
I give myself sort of a 30 to 60-day period. And one of the things that sometimes happens, it's happened the last couple of years, is that during November hasn't historically been a great time for me to write because I teach as well. And so November, sort of the semester's wrapping up. And I have done NaNoWriMo during the official month. And I've won and I have my certificate, but I'll use the process any time of year. And what I actually do is I'll just sort of reach out on Twitter and say, hey, I'm doing a December NaNo. Who wants in? And then sometimes people I know, sometimes people I've interacted with on Twitter, sometimes people I absolutely have no idea who they are, will be like me. And then I just tweet my word count to them and publicly every day until I get through the draft.
It's so cool. It's like you're creating this community and doing it all year round.
That's right. Yeah. And it's really using the NaNoWriMo model. And, you know, sometimes it takes me like 6 weeks, 8 weeks. But, you know, this year I'm writing a novel about the hurricane in Puerto Rico. I'm figuring out how to work that into my Justice Hustlers series because, you know, there's nothing else as a member of the Puerto Rican diaspora. There's nothing else that I'd rather be writing about. Nothing feels as urgent. And it's really incredible to already have a book under contract and be able to bring something current into a series as opposed to having to write the book and then try and sell it. So I'm really grateful to be able to put this out in a timely fashion. And I was on Twitter with March NaNo, and then it became March April NaNo because I didn't finish. But then I finished and recently was cleaning it up. Literally was tweeting out yesterday that I'm taking out the little word count numbers that I put in the draft to keep me encouraged, like, you're making progress.
It really sounds like the pressure and the deadlines are your new way of being a writer. And is there anything about that that you feel negatively impacts your artistry or your creativity? Or is it just something that you've adopted and run with?
Well, I think that there are different phases of the writing process that go better when you're rushing. So as I said before, if you have a lot of angst when you write, the pressure can just be incredibly stressful and doesn't work. But the gift of NaNoWriMo is really this method that's about utterly suspending judgment. And I'm pretty good at utterly suspending judgment. And when I can do that, then in that part of the process, writing quickly is great. In the later part of the process, in terms of really digging in to the story and thinking about it and, you know, making the prose sing at the word level, rushing is not optimal. But at the same time, I do have a year. And part of what's so great is that if I can crank out the first draft in 6 weeks, then I can really spend the rest of the year focused on strengthening the story, strengthening the characters, strengthening the character arc, working on the prose. And that has been really the gift, that if I only have a year, I need to crank out that first draft quickly so that the parts of the work that really are more labor intensive, I can use the time that I have to focus on that.
I'm curious because you are so prolific now. And I recently read a quote by R.L. Stine where he said the thing that makes him be so prolific is that he outlines everything for a week before he writes. Do you outline or plan your novels ahead of time, or you just wing it and pants, as we say in NaNoWriMo?
Right. What is it? The plotters versus the pantsers.
Yeah.
I am a plotter. I know that helps. And it was really helpful to hear people talk about plotters versus pantsers, because sometimes people will say, oh, you're outlining, you're doing so much. That's so great. I should do that. And in the past, I've had friends and I've been like, here's how you outline. And it didn't work for them. That's not how their mind works. And so, yeah, being a plotter is great. The other thing that's really great in terms of the way that I'm set up is that my editor wants an outline. That part of the process in the publishing part of my work is to send an outline to my editor. And what's great about that is then if the editor has structural problems with the book or, you know, has questions or things that she wants to shift, then they're getting shifted at the outline level. And then I write the prose. And so there's nothing more frustrating when you're trying to crank work out quickly as, say, writing a whole, you know, having whole things in the structure of your book that need to be changed, because it really slows you down. So that's been great. I absolutely am an outliner. It helps me to write quickly. I did less outlining in this book than I have before, and that is part of what took the time. I think part for me, outlining is partly about the plot, but it's also about making decisions, right? Like, they're in a cafe. What's the name of the cafe? And, you know, then her long-lost cousin appears. What's the cousin's name? Just things like that. I work out ahead of time so that when I'm writing, I'm really just writing. I'm not thinking, what should the cousin be named? What kind of restaurant are they in? Those little details really help you sail through those word counts when you've made all the decisions, because really it's a different part of your brain that you use to kind of contemplate than the part of your brain that you use to sort of write the flow of a scene with dialogue and action and description.
Well, Aya De Leon, thank you so much for being with us. And everybody, please visit Aya at her website, ayadeleon.com. You can find her at Twitter at Aya De Leon. And then Aya has a new book called The Accidental Mistress, and it's the next installment of her Justice Hustlers series.
Thanks so much, Aya. I can't wait to read it.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Well, before we end each show every week, we are going to be giving you a writing action. And today's writing action stems around this idea of doing it all, assessing what you do and taking stock. So this is an exercise that I've offered to my clients and authors over the year. Basically, you make a pie chart of how you spend your time. So what you have to do is record, even loosely, for a couple of days. What are you doing? This might be spending time with family, working. You can include sleep if you want. Certainly, it's going to be a big portion of everyone's day. Watching TV, exercising, whatever the things are that you do, try to quantify them in the number of hours. And then you create a pie chart. Again, this can be really messy. Don't feel like this has to be artistic or anything. And you look and see what that pie chart looks like. It's actually a really interesting and visual exercise to put your time into a pie chart and to give it some semblance of a percentage of each of your of every day, and then see, you know, what can you steal from? Like I was saying, where can you take a couple of hours here or there? You know, I'm going to try to do what Grant was saying earlier of just a little bit each day. But even to fit in those 250 words a day, I feel like I would have to look at that pie chart and say, you know, what am I going to take from? I might have to wake up a half hour earlier each day. I might switch up my exercise routine, whatever the case might be. So check it out, see what you find out, see where you can steal a little bit of time and make some higher priority time for your writing.
Well, thanks so much to everyone for joining us today. Hope you got a lot out of this. I know I did. This is a weekly podcast, so please subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, check out happenings on NaNoWriMo.org and SheWrites.com. We've got a lot going on. Thanks so much.
Bye, everybody.